morning and welcome to church today. Thank you to Danny and the worship team for leading us this morning. So before we come before God's word, let's just open in prayer. Father, we thank you for the freedom in which we have to enter into your presence. We thank you for church. We thank you for the freedom that we have to come together today as one. And as we open up your word, Father, we ask that you would speak to our hearts and minds now, in Jesus' name. Amen. So it is wonderful to be back with you all this morning. It's been 9 weeks since we were last together under this one roof at our Joy service. And what a wonderful service that was. If you will remember, I read out to you that morning the government guidelines for the church to close during this lockdown. And I don't mind admitting, I had a massive lump in my throat as I read the guidelines out to you that morning, as it goes against everything that I believe in, that we believe in. As the Bible says in Hebrews, we're not to stop meeting together as believers in this way. So it's been very difficult not to be together. And on behalf of the pastors and elders, we miss you, we love you, and we are praying for you every day. And as a church, we've had to do things quite differently. We're learning how to do things differently and be creative at this time in staying connected and staying together. However, that image of the church worldwide closed, with its doors closed, was a somber one. You may even have felt saddened and defeated by that picture. Some may have said, and even have said, that Satan has had his way. He has closed the church. He has silenced the music. He has gagged the preachers. However, the good news is, if the statistics are accurate, there is actually even more people tuning into church online recently. And more people, according to the statistics, have turned to God in prayer during this very difficult time. So that is great news. And what the enemy may have planned for harm, God has turned it around for good. So don't be tricked into thinking that the enemy has had his way here, that he has won, because he has no control over the church. Matthew 16, verse 18 says this, Jesus says this, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. This was the first use of the word church in the New Testament, that Greek word, ecclesia. It was well before the birth of the church that we read about at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. So what Jesus was actually doing here was speaking of the church to come. Why is that important to us today? Well, his statement, he says that he will build his church. He's claiming ownership of that. It's his church. It's not the world's church. It's not the government's church. It's not Satan's church. It's not even the pastors and the elders. It's Jesus' church. It belongs to him, and he will build it, he says, and the gates of hell will not win. So right now, during this dark time and potentially threatening time for the church, it may look like the enemy has won, but Jesus is saying the gates of hell will not win. One commentator of this verse says this, it will not die. So let's choose to believe, church. Let's choose to believe today that the church will not die, but live and declare the good works of the Lord. So that's great comfort for us today. It's great encouragement to know that Jesus is in control and that he is building his church. However, it is a very difficult time right now. It's a difficult time in our world right now. It's difficult for the church and Christians throughout the world right now. And many, as I've said, have turned to the Lord in prayer, which is good. And it was during a private time of prayer recently that I asked the Lord a question. What are you doing in your church right now? You see, you can ask God questions like that. You can ask God difficult questions. They're not too difficult for him. Jeremiah 33 verse 3 tells us that. It says, "Ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets that you do not know about things to come." So ask him the questions. He longs to spend time with you. So I asked the Lord, "What are you doing in your church right now?" And he showed me a picture, as he often does. He showed me the church, well, the inside of the church. And I immediately knew that he was talking about the body of Christ, because it wasn't the bricks, it wasn't the framework, it was inside. And what he showed me was all of this scaffolding that had been erected inside the church. So I asked another question, "What is this for, Lord?" And I heard the Holy Spirit speak to my spirit. Not an audible voice, but I heard him say that the church right now is under reconstruction. Now, as I said, I knew that he meant the body of Christ, because it was inside the church that he showed me. So what might God be speaking? Well, I've already said it. We've already established that the church belongs to Jesus Christ, that he is the one building the church. However, as we heard from Pastor Hugh a few weeks ago, we are the living stones that are built into the spiritual house to be holy. And it's that holy church, that holy bride of Christ that Jesus is looking for when he returns, for he is returning. We read in Ephesians chapter 5, 25 to 27, what Jesus feels about his church, how he loves the bride of Christ. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing with word through the word. The washing of water through the word, and to present her to himself as a glorious church without stain or wrinkle or any such blemish, to be holy and blameless." So I wonder, is that how you would describe the church right now? Glorious, without stain or blemish. Is she radiant? Is she attractive? Are people drawn to her? Or would you admit that there is work yet to be done? You see, reconstruction doesn't mean closure. Doesn't mean that it's closed. It simply means there's work to be done. Now, I'm no engineer, so apologies any engineers tuning in this morning. But if you take a bridge, for instance, a bridge that is under reconstruction, it's usually because there are weak points and they are trying to make it stronger, so much stronger that they will be able to take the multitude of people and traffic that's going to cross over her. Or a shop that has a sign outside that says temporarily closed for refurbishment or refit. Now, when it reopens, it's the same old retail shop that you have loved for years, only it's brighter and it's cleaner and it's more inviting and it's more attractive, and you cannot wait to get in there. Well, I cannot wait to get in there. So I wonder, in this period of reconstruction, this time, I wonder, is God strengthening his church? Is he cleansing her and improving her so that she will be more radiant, more attractive, like a city on a hill that is so bright that for miles and miles you can see her and you are drawn to her because she is so inviting and so attractive? So let's just go with that thought, that the church is not closed, that Satan has not won, no, that this is Christ's church, that he is in control, that he is building his church, and the enemy will not win. However, at this time, We have been presented with a wonderful opportunity as living stones to make her, the bride of Christ, as beautiful and as attractive as she can be. To be holy, to be stronger than ever before. So that once this lockdown is over, not only will we be returning to this place, but so too will many others who have been drawn to her on the journey. So how do we do that? How do we successfully complete reconstruction? Well, in three of the Gospels, Jesus is recorded as referring to this house as a house of prayer. He's quoting the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, where he writes in Isaiah 56, 7, "For my house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples." Prayer is intimacy with the Father. I said earlier, he longs to spend time with you, privately and corporately. Prayer is drawing close to God, entering into his presence, sitting down beside him. And if you're tuning in today and you're new to church and you've always wondered about the mystery of Christian prayer, can I encourage you today? There is no mystery. All you need to do is open up your heart and begin a conversation with God the Father, because he is waiting to talk to you, to spend time with you. So not only are we a house of prayer when we come together corporately, but we ourselves are a house of prayer, because we can come to God and talk to him anytime, any place, anywhere. So I want today, for the remainder of the time that we have together today, to talk about how we can successfully complete reconstruction. And the way that we can do that is through the transforming power of prayer. Pastor Hugh said last week that that's what God is looking for, men and women who are committed to prayer, men and women who see prayer as the most important in their relationship and building their relationship with God the Father. It's vital, especially if you are in leadership. So I want to take you to a particular portion of scripture today in the Bible. So if you've got your Bibles at home with you, if you turn with me now to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus, verse 11 in chapter 33. Now in this verse, we read about the intimate relationship that Moses had with God the Father. It says this in verse 11. "The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one would speak to a friend." Now again, Pastor Hugh said last week, the secret to Moses' success was his intimate relationship with God. And we see that intimate relationship right there. That he would speak to God so close, face to face. That's up close and personal. Do you want a relationship like that with God, up close and personal? You know, God wants that kind of relationship with you. He's longing to spend time with you. During this lockdown, he wants you to draw closer to him, not drive away from him because of fear, but come closer to him, come closer to God today. Now, we heard all about Moses' prodigy last week, Joshua. But I want to go back a wee bit further in history. God had commanded Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery, and into the promised land. Not an easy task. There were millions of them, which is why I'm not surprised a 2 or 3 week journey, in actual fact, ended up taking 40 years wandering around at times in chaos in the desert. You can imagine the organization of all of that. Now, it was God's desire that the people would have a temple, a place where they could go and they could worship him and they could pray to him. However, they had not yet reached the promised land. So God commanded Moses to build the tabernacle. And we read that in Exodus 25, 8 and 9. "They are to make a sanctuary for me so that I may dwell among them. You must make the tabernacle and the design and all of its furnishings according to the plan that I will show you. This is God's desire. This is God's design. So they could not have a fixed building at that time. Do you hear that? They couldn't have a fixed building. So Moses was to create the tabernacle, basically a church on the move. And church, we should always be on the move. To quote C.S. Lewis in that famous children's book, Aslan is on the move. God is on the move, and so too should we. So God gave Moses clear instructions, clear and careful instructions on how to design and how to create this place of prayer and this place of worship. And all the intricate details can be found in the book of Exodus from chapter 25 right through to 31. And in your own private time, you can go and read about them. So the tabernacle was a special place. It was a sacred place. It contained the Ark of the Covenant, as you know, is represented as the very presence of God. It was a place where sins were atoned for, a place where prayers were made on behalf of the people. It was a place of cleansing and it was a place of worship. And right now, you may be picturing your place of worship, your church right now, this sanctuary that I'm currently looking out at. However, God's temple is not in this building, as lovely and as beautiful as it is. God's temple is inside each and every one of us. We are the church. You yourself are God's temple, and God's temple through his Spirit dwells in your midst. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. God doesn't dwell in a building. He dwells in you. He resides in your heart. If you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, he takes up residency in your heart. This is just a building. It's when we all come together corporately under this one roof, or come together in one spirit as we are doing right now, that we are the church. But in fact, we are the church wherever we go, in the supermarket, in our neighborhood, in our front gardens, at work, on the bus. We are the church. Christ lives in us. The church that is under reconstruction then, right now, is actually our hearts and our minds. And that's a sobering thought. That during this very difficult time that God did not create, however, his glory will be revealed through this time. During this time, the Holy Trinity wants to strengthen the body of Christ. He wants to strengthen her, cleanse her, prepare her, and make her more beautiful and attractive. And that takes place, church, in us. It starts in us, in our hearts, and in our minds. But for Moses and his people, they needed an actual building or a tent, and they created the tabernacle at God's request. So we have the benefit of living this side of the resurrection. We acknowledge that we have been saved, that we have been set free from our sin through the shed blood of Jesus, and that we can come to God anytime, any place, anywhere. We can get down on our knees and we can worship him freely, and we can sing songs to him, and we can spend time in his presence, and we can listen to his voice. And that is amazing. That is amazing grace. It's an amazing truth. But for Moses and his people, they were waiting for the promise. They were waiting for the promise. So they built the tabernacle at God's request. That being said, though, I believe that there is a lot that we today can learn from the tabernacle, in particular through praying through this holy place. As I said earlier, we will successfully complete reconstruction by the powerful transforming act of prayer. That we would be a transformed house of prayer. Now, there is much, as I said, to learn about the intricate details of the tabernacle. The colours, the designs, the cloth, the material, this tent of meeting, as it's also called. Every single piece of furniture was carefully designed by God and pointed towards the coming Saviour. And I don't have time today to go into it all, but if it interests you, then go and spend some time researching it. But what I do want to leave you with today, church, is six powerful prayers. Powerful prayers that we can use right now during this period, during this time of reconstruction, that we can bring our hearts and our minds before God and we can ask Him to strengthen us and cleanse us and align our heart with His heart. So very briefly, the tabernacle was a tent. Well, I say tent, it was actually two tents. And there was the holy place, and then there was another tent that you would go into through the veil, through the curtain, and that was known as the Holy of Holies. And that was the place where the Ark of the Covenant was. The Ark of the Covenant contained the tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments, a pot of manna, and Aaron's rod. And around the tents was a courtyard. Now, leading to the Holy of Holies was strategically placed items of furniture. And it's at these points of furniture, these six points, that I want us to stop today and I want us to pause. Because I believe that the Holy Spirit is asking us to pause. He's asking us to pause right now during this period of reconstruction, and we have to go on our knees and we have to pray. And we're going to use these six points to help us to pray as we move towards coming back, as we move towards reconstruction being over. So the first place that we enter is through the gate of thanksgiving, as it's known. Psalm 100, verse 4, you know this well. We will enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. I wanted to sing that there, but I won't. Now, right now, I know that it is a very difficult time. It's a sad time. There's a lot of grief and pain and sadness right now. However, Paul writes in the book of Ephesians 5:20 that we are to give thanks always, at all times, unto God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. So even in the midst of all that is going on right now, we are to give thanks. Thanks. And if you feel overwhelmed right now, if you're trying to pray right now and you just don't have the words, you feel overwhelmed with sadness, can I encourage you just to give thanks? Give thanks for God. Give thanks for Jesus. Thank Him for the cross. Thank Him for the breath in your body. Give thanks. When we give thanks to God, it helps our heart to come into alignment with the Father's heart. And what it also does is guards our heart from the enemy who would try to pollute our heart with sin. So give thanks. As we begin this journey of reconstruction, let us give thanks to God. Let us always be here at Moss Vale Community Church, a thankful church. The second stop, if you're taking notes, you might want to take notes today, is at the brazen altar, situated in the outer court. The brazen altar was also known as the altar of burnt offerings or the altar of burnt sacrifice. Now, this was a place that if I was there, I would want to put a peg on my nose, because it was a place where the dead animals were, that they were used as a sacrifice. There was a lot of blood and sacrifice. So as we pause at this point, let's reflect on what does sacrifice mean to us today? Well, for a start, we don't need to sacrifice a lamb. For the lamb was slain for us. The Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, was slain for us. He was the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus Christ paid the price so that you and I may be free from sin. So I wonder, as you pause here this morning, is there something inside of you that needs to die? That needs to be let go of, something that's had its grip on you for a long time, something that's consumed you. And today is the day that you lay it down on the burnt offering, on the burnt altar. Today is the day where you lay your sin at the feet of Jesus. Church, let us use this time to get our hearts right with God. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Romans 12, verse 1. Church, give your whole self to Jesus, for Jesus gave his whole self for us. Okay, so once the sins were atoned for, the cleansing took place at the laver of water. Before we move a step further, before we go any further in our journey, let us stop and let us pause and look at our own reflection in the water. I read to you at the very start this morning about the spotless bride that is holy in Ephesians 5, where it says to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word. Church, we need to come to God and be washed in his word. As a church, as individuals, it's time to examine our hearts with his word, not by the standards of the world, but by his word. We need to get our hearts right before God and use his word as a heart gauge. It's time during this period of reconstruction that we allow the word of God to wash over in and through us like never before. So get in to the word of God. Number 4 is the candlestick. It's actually my favorite. It's situated in the first tent, and it was made of solid gold. Everything in this section was made of gold, and there's actually so much that I could share with you. But the candlestick gave light to the tent, just as Jesus gives light to the world. And John 8, verse 12 says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So not only did Jesus say that he's the light of the world, not only did he say that he is the light in your darkness, but he goes on to say that you too, in Matthew, are also the light of the world. We are to be the light in this dark world that leads others to Jesus. So as we stop at this point and ponder and pray, let us pray, am I God being a light for you? When others hear me, do they hear Jesus? When others see me and see my life, do they see Jesus? And then there is the wonderful oil in the candlestick, which is symbolic and represents the Holy Spirit. Are we inviting the powerful work of the Holy Spirit, the dunamis of God? Are we inviting that powerful work of God in our lives, in our church? You know, Jesus promised us his Spirit. Acts 1 verse 8 says that the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be my witnesses. But the disciples, they couldn't do anything until that powerful Holy Spirit came at Pentecost and filled that upper room with that power. Ordinary men like Peter and John were then more bolder and more courageous because of that dunamis, because of that power of God. The church could do nothing. It was not established without the power of the Holy Spirit. And church today, we can do nothing without the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's take time to pause and to pray and to ask for more of that power. Invite the Holy Spirit to come and fan into flames the gifts that are inside of you. Ask him, stir the passion within me, Lord. Wake my soul, Lord. Cry out to him to set alight your passion for him. And where the church has been dimly lit, where the flame has gone out, we need to confess and we need to pray, Lord, burn in us a new passion and a new desire and a new love for your church, that we may be a beacon of light at this time, filled with the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, that we would be such a beacon of light, such a flame that so many would be drawn to her. Okay, moving on to the table of shewbread, or showbread as it's also known. There were 12 loaves of bread. And as you know, there were 12 tribes of Israel. Now, the bread is symbolic throughout the Bible. You know, we've already talked about the importance of the word of God, but Jesus also said that man shall not live by bread alone, but in every word that comes from the word of God. God also provided manna, he provided bread for the Israelites in the desert. Jesus took two loaves in the New Testament and he fed the multitude. So this bread represents also divine supply and sufficiency from God, provision. But some of us right now are spiritually starving. We're spiritually starving because we've been nibbling. Nibbling on the word of God, of a little bit here and a little bit there, treating it like a buffet. Oh, but I don't like that bit. We need to be in the word daily. It's daily bread. We need it to survive. So right now, let's feed on the word of God. In fact, no, let's feast on the word of God right now. Okay, the last place that I want us to pause and ponder before we enter the Holy of Holies is the altar of incense. Now, I said earlier at the brazen altar that you needed a peg for your nose. Well, you don't hear because of the sweet smell of incense, which is truly divine. This represents our worship, our praise and our prayers and our offering, our devotional, our reading of our Bible, our tithing, our fasting. That's all worship. But all of that is a sweet, sweet fragrance to God. You and your worship and your praise is pleasing to God. As you stood in your living room earlier and worshipped God along with the worship team, as you began to sing praises to God, it was like a sweet offering that the Holy Spirit and God just breathed in. He looks to you. He delights in you as you worship in him, and it is a sweet offering. Right now, in the midst of all that is going on and all the chaos that's going on in our world, we need to be a people of praise. And I spoke about that about a month ago. And I want to share with you in the message now, Psalm 141, verses 1 and 2, because it's just lovely. And it says, God, come close, come quickly, open your ears. It's my voice you're hearing. Treat my prayer as sweet incense rising. Church, let us be on our knees right now in worship, worshiping God, offering him our praise. You know, I heard a quote once, and forgive me because I can't remember who said it, but it says this: a man on his face can never fall far from that position. Let us be a church on our knees in complete surrender and worship to our God. So let's summarize. We are under reconstruction. What do we do? How do we successfully complete reconstruction? Well, we need to give him thanks. Thank him. We repent. We cleanse our hearts and minds with his words. We ask for more of his spirit in our lives, in our church life. We feast on his daily bread and we bow down and we worship him. At the tabernacle, once the high priest had gone through all of those stages, he then entered into the Holy of Holies through the veil where the Ark of the Covenant was. The Ark which represented the very presence of God. It was the most sacred and holy place. Only the high priest could enter. Today, church, though, anyone who comes to God in faith may enter. I'll say it again. Anyone who comes to God today in faith may enter into a relationship with God the Father through the Son. Jesus Christ died so that we may enter into a precious relationship with God. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, make today that day. Jesus is with you. Pray to him. Pray out to him right now, even if you're looking at your television screen or laptop screen. Say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I want you. Come into my heart. Cleanse my heart. Allow my old self to die away so that I may become a new creation. Pray that prayer today. You don't need to be associated to Jesus because you have a friend that comes to this church. You can know Jesus for yourself. Just say that prayer aloud today. For us today, as the church right now, Satan's not closed the church down. Satan's not won. The church belongs to Jesus Christ, and he's the one that is building it. We are his living stones, and he has called us to be a house of prayer. So while we wait to return to our church building, let us pause. Let us stop and pray. Let us ask the question, how might we love the bride of Christ and prepare her in such a way that she is attractive and radiant and welcoming and all are drawn to her beauty? Let us be mindful today that we are the church wherever we go. And I know that you all can't wait to be back together again. I can't wait to be back together again with you all under one roof. However, the temple of God is in our hearts. And when we do come back, you will see that this physical building has undergone some refurbishment, some fresh coat of paint, and that is wonderful. And we are so blessed to have a beautiful church building. However, let the true and lasting reconstruction have taken place in us, in our hearts. For it is that which will move this church, Christ's church, forward, onward, upward into the greater things in which he has for her. Yes, there will be change, but let it be that the greatest change, the most significant change, have taken place in us, in our hearts. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word today. We thank you that you are speaking to your church. Lord, we love you and we want to be more like you. Help us, Lord, during this time to bring our hearts and minds to you in complete surrender. Lord, we give you permission to search our hearts and make us stronger individually and corporately as a church. Build your church at Mossvale, God. Build your church in our hearts and make us stronger, bolder, brighter, holier. Holy, Lord, because you are holy. So now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, be power, glory, and majesty in the church now and forever. Amen. God bless.